Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So last night, I'm fast asleep. I came home from our game that I play in the Men's Senior Baseball League. We lost. And I'm out cold. It's 9:40. I mean, I was out in two. You know those nights where you lay down and you're gone? Phone's ringing, and I am completely in a stupor, and I'm like, oh, God, I overslept. And I look, it's 11:05, 11:10. It's my brother. Kid, wake your dead ass up and turn on the Suns game. It's amazing. I'm fast asleep. I'll figure it out in the morning. I got to get up. No! Turn your TV on. So I did, and I just then was when Ayton had just tip-dunked the alley-oop pass or slammed it. That was a pretty dramatic ending. How about those Suns? They were a lottery team a year ago. That's hope for the Bulls, kid. We can go get the right point guard.
We'll talk about it.
We'll get to it. We'll have a bunch of basketball. So the Sox are in a five-game skid. Swept four in Houston. Really good team. And yesterday, I'm looking at the lines. I'm like, I'm all over Giolito to strike out more than 7.5. They're going to crush Pittsburgh.
Lose. Oh, is that where you put your bet yesterday?
That was one of them.
Okay. Yeah, one of mine was the Chicago Sky. Cashing in again, pal.
How about sending that my way? This guy's making a fortune off the WNBA and never shares it.
Cha-ching. I tell Waddle this last year, right? I was like, hey, man, you probably should look in the WNBA. You look like me. I got turds hanging out of my ears. I go, really? Like, now you have a standard. You're not going to bet on women's basketball? Waddle, really? Now you have a standard. Get out of here, man. Money's money.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
I told you. I know I did because you've been red hot at it.
Yes.
Red hot. That I had a parlay. My wife was standing behind me. I didn't know she'd come home from shopping. It was on a Sunday afternoon. It's like 1 second left in a WNBA. It wasn't even the Sky. And I had a parlay the total in the WNBA game. And my wife's standing behind me. I don't know if she's there. And the girl's at the free throw line. Two free throws. And I'm 1 point under. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you better effing make these free throws. And I'm yelling at the TV. She's like, did you bet on WNBA? You have issues.
It's still money.
The money's green.
Thank you, Vandersloot.
Courtney Vandersloot.
Thank you, Vandersloot. And thank you very much to Shields and Candace Parker. Cha-ching!
Take that again! I love it.
Oh, cashing tickets every night.
All right, to the phones. Chris is in Darien. Christopher, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to tell you guys have a great show. I love listening to you in the morning on the way to work.
We appreciate you.
Thank you, Chris.
So I wanted to make the Sox fans feel a little better out there. I mean, every team goes through a skid at some point in the season. I'd rather it be in June versus September, you know, so they have a better chance to just get better, get back in their game, and, you know, get some guys healthy in. So I'm not worried at all.
That's an optimistic view, Chris. As a Sox fan, I agree with you. This whole thing with Danny and the Bomb Shelter, which is a great band, by the way. You see him at Reggie's on the South Loop. I think that it's great that this Sox team is going through this now because, hey, every team goes through doldrums. Look on the north side. Plenty of doldrums there.
Oh, they've had plenty.
All right. So,
Thanks, man.
Sox just got to get healthy. And we've got a Hall of Fame manager. Take that. We've got a Hall of Fame manager in there that can figure it out, right?
I hope you have a Hall of Fame medical staff also as these guys fall off like flies.
Well, no one's going to be like Herm, okay? There'd be no injuries if Herm was
Schneider.
There.
Exactly.
If Herm Schneider was there, all these guys would be healthy. What was his magic, man?
I don't know, but you had less injuries than anybody.
I miss Herm there. Those guys were ready to go. Like, oh, no one's on the injured list. The reason why Herm had him ready.
Remember the spring training he showed up? He was like 70 pounds lighter. You're like,
I remember that, yeah.
Who's that guy?
He comes bouncing out of the dugout. I'm like, oh, God, look at this guy. Yeah. Actually, I liked Herm when he was a bigger guy.
Yeah.
That makes sense, right? It's like the barber with the terrible haircut.
Correct.
Who does your hair, pal?
Not me.
Mine is nice, but who does yours? I don't know, man. Well, how do you like it? That was Herm. You know, he'd like a nice steak and potatoes at night, being on the road, bouncing out there. But those guys were healthy, though.
Always.
The trainer's not in shape. Didn't have to be.
Back to the phones, William and Lansing. William, what's up, Cookie?
Hey, Cap. Thanks for taking my call, kid. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
I'm not on panic alert. I think Danny maybe had something in his coffee or something that's making him go nuts, the way it sounds on this end. Gotta go with Jay Hood. I think Adam Frazier is a great piece. Question will be what you give up. I need to touch on the bullpen, guys. I mean, yeah. Watching last night, you're against the Pirates, Houston, good ball, decent ball clubs there in Houston. The middle relief bullpen is atrocious. Aaron Bummer is not getting the job done. So I'm going to hang up posing the question, what bullpen pieces do you think the Sox could go target? Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
You're the man.
All right, Will. You know, it's interesting about Bummer. He just, and this is without looking at the numbers, I'll look at him now that we bring it up. It just seems like he's always in the high leverage situation. He's always in the high wire act. They put him in this position where if the Sox are behind or if there's runners in scoring position, all right, you know, get Bummer in there. Like, I have to take a look at the numbers closely with that, but it seems like him and like another pitcher on the bullpen seems like they're always in high leverage situations, but that's their job, right?
You want a Dan Winkler?
No, you're not trading Dan Winkler.
Ryan Tepera? No, he's been awesome.
Well, you're not trading those guys because you feel like you're close. He's one of the best bullpens in baseball.
Little Garrett Crochet coming back?
Oh, no, look. No, you're fine. Look, you're not going to break that up. You got a great setup here. Tepera to Chapin, right into your closer there.
Kimbrel.
That's a good 7-8-9 you got going
there. Working out.
You're not messing that up.
Nope. 312.
If nothing else with the Cubs, you know that works.
Correct.
For sure.
312-332-3776. Glenn's in West Chicago. Hey, Glenn, what's up, Sparky?
Good morning, David. I saw you out there at second base last night. I'm the manager of the Chicago North Stars. How'd you like our team?
Your team's pretty damn good. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, so is yours, by the way, though. You got a great hitting team. And I think you've got probably the best team in Chicago North. You and the 1917 White Sox, I think, are going to battle it out all the way down the line. But I really enjoyed the game last night. It was a beautiful night in Bensenville. And you got to admit, you know, with a night like last night, it's still fun to play 60s baseball.
Absolutely. Have a great day, man. You have a good team.
You too.
See you, kid.
And this portion of Cap and J Hood brought to you by Molto Meal. Molto Meal.
Metamucil.
Go ahead.
Anyway.
Yeah, where are you going to go from that now? There's nowhere for me to go after that.
We had some pitching there last night that probably could help your bullpen.
All right, let's talk about it.
Like a Billy Alvarez?
Yep.
He gave up one run in four innings?
Yeah. How was Rabinowitz last night? Good?
We don't have any Jewish guys on the team except me.
I don't believe you.
That's the truth.
I don't believe you. I don't believe that.
Trust me.
They check Billy Alvarez when he's walking off the mound for substances?
They actually did. They put the umpires up to checking him. He came off the mound at the end of the fourth. You can only pitch four innings.
Sure.
As he came off, they went, yeah, okay, we want to see the glove, the hat. He's like, what?
I know. They were laughing at that, right? Yeah. That'd be funny.
Okay, so that leads us into what happened last night in MLB.
All right.
You've got... Every game, they're stopping pitchers, whether it's Kyle Hendricks, whether it's Aaron Bummer. Let me see your glove. One game, they said the guy's glove was too light. What does that mean?
Okay, so again, this is the infinite wisdom of Major League Baseball. You know, we have ragged on Gary Bettman in the National Hockey League for a long time, and I still think that in some ways they're behind. They got a nice TV deal from ESPN, ESPN Plus. That's fine. Uh-huh. They've been able to put themselves in a position where they can be seen on ESPN. That's great.
Yep.
So, but when it comes to Major League Baseball, it is amazing how Manfred is just completely behind the times. How do you hide from all of this? We're talking about this, and we're seeing this on a daily basis. There's no statement from you. There is no, from New York, from your office saying, here, we're going to crack down on this. And we know that we want to have competitive balance on the team. You don't say any of that?
Nothing.
If this is Roger Goodell, he's there at the desk saying, this stops here. The buck stops with me. Whatever he's saying, right? Sheriff Goodell with a shiny badge would tell you, like, this is enough of this, right?
Right.
But there's Manfred hiding in the shadows. And so... Where are the rules and regulations on checking these pitchers? This stop and frisk that they got going on in Major League Baseball is nonsense. You don't have a set amount of times you could do this. You don't have any rules and regulations. Just willy-nilly. Just go out there and just freewheel your... That's not baseball, man. Where's the commissioner of baseball in all of this?
He is so in over his head. They need a new face of the sport. I keep saying it should be Theo Epstein. I don't have any interest. I don't know if he has any interest in doing that. But Rob Manfred's a boob. He's a boob. Every single thing that we got to fix, you never hear from this guy, ever.
You're lucky that this is not like LaTroy Hawkins or some guys like that, Lee Smith, guys like that. Let me see what you have. What are you doing here? Hey, let me go, man. Oh, God. I got nothing on me. What's with this ounce? What ounce? It's KY jelly. For my lips, I get chapped. I mean, that's lucky it's not those guys, right?
Right.
There's not enough brothers in the game.
Sergio Romo was not happy last night.
I'm just saying, man. Just get like LaTroy Hawkins from Gary. Do that to him.
Yeah.
You want me to do what? Get your ass off the mound, man. We have to check. You have to check anything. Check this. Take that.
Right.
Man, you're lucky. Now, these guys are willing to get frisked, but some of these other guys, these tough guys back in the day, I don't think that's happening.
No shot.
You know, you do that to Doc Gooden. You do it to
Gooden. See how that ends for you.
See, those brothers are doing that. See, you want me to do what? I ain't got nothing, man. I got stuff. Hey, I'm sorry, Mr. Gibson, Bob, could we just... Oh, God! He's choking me! Yeah, that's not happening, man. These guys are too soft now. I'll tell those, if I'm the pitcher today, like, get your ass off the mound, man. I don't have anything. Look, I got nothing except stuff.
Yeah, except a thunderbolt in my right arm. Bob Gibson said Tim McCarver came out to see him. He'd given up a couple hits, which for him was a rarity. He goes, get your ass back behind the plate. The only thing you know about good pitching is you can't hit it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. That's all you say.
Whatever you say, Mr. Gibson.
Yes, sir.
312-332-3776. My guy, my friend Joe Girardi.
Oh, God.
Ready to fight everyone, and I love it. That's right. That's next.
That's why I say amen, I shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say amen, I
shot. Shot, no shot, brought to you by the wonderful people at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse and register your account. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, David Emmanuel Kaplan.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Hood.
What's up, man?
What up, guy?
What's up, man?
How good. You feeling, bro?
I'm good. Chilling.
You sound like it, man.
Yeah, well, you know, it's at 100.3 FM, that HD2 has got me bassy.
Your voice very was big, made for the FM.
This is hey, Jonathan Hood.
Before doing sports talk, I was doing music. I was a DJ doing music, you know, for like a couple of years. And I said, you know, like, this is cool, but I don't talk enough. I wish I talked less.
I could hear you introducing a CNC Music Factory song.
Yeah, that was fun. I was like, but I'm not talking enough.
I'll get a sports talk.
Yeah, I'll get a sports talk show.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen. Kyle Hendricks of your Chicago Cubs extended the best streak of his career and the longest by a Cub pitcher since Jake Arrieta won 9 consecutive starts to bridge the 2015-2016 season. He is now 10-4. Hendricks hasn't lost since Pittsburgh beat him on May 9th. His ERA has plummeted from 6.23 to 3.84 in that span. We all remember John Lester and Jake Arrieta carrying the Cubs on their multiple playoff runs. But, gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, when all is said and done, Kyle Hendricks should be considered the Cubs' best pitcher from the championship team.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good question, Danny.
Well, thank you, JR.
Note that, Black and Abdallah.
What are you doing there?
They won't give me a good question.
A great segment.
They will not give it to me.
Why?
I'm not allowed to have one.
Why?
I think because JR is not a guest.
Oh, okay. I like that segment. I think it's a creative segment that they put together. Giving them love.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
And a swift kick.
Gentlemen, shot or no shot, when all is said and done, Kyle Hendricks should be considered the Cubs' best pitcher from the championship era.
Yeah, I'm going to say shot because he's going to have more staying power. He will have more wins. He will end up being the guy that started the game that won the pennant, started game 7 that they won the World Series. And if Danny's favorite manager hadn't yanked him so quickly, it might never have been close and we'd have won. But that's an aside. Yes, that's a shot.
Yeah, you know, no, this is no problem, no shot at John Lester, but I say you mentioned staying power. That's the key to that whole thing here with Kyle Hendricks. So I will say shot to that. I think that's very good. That's a great question.
Thank you very much, Eddie. He is so under the radar. It's unbelievable, Kyle Hendricks, isn't
and
it?
And a great dude.
All-star Kyle Hendricks.
He better
he
be.
He will be.
He yeah. better
burst
be.
Burst to 10 wins in the National League, and he's tied with Aaron Civale, who would have gotten his 11th the other night, and they had to yank him with two outs in the fifth because of the finger injury that probably is sending him to the injured list.
Mm.
On to Arlington Heights' favorite football team, your Chicago Bears. After opting out last season, Eddie Goldman did not show up for mandatory minicamp. He was not present at the OTAs that were open to the media, which led many beat reporters to believe he took a pass on the voluntary offseason program. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, there's a chance Eddie Goldman does not play for your Chicago Bears again this season.
That's a no shot. He'll be there.
Yes, I completely agree with my friend Jonathan Hood. No shot.
That is a no shot. And we've seen this across the NFL. We're supposed to be mandatory and guys are not showing up because they're working out with their own people. Whatever the reason, right? He'll be there. He'll be there, but just not when the Bears want him, clearly.
Correct.
But wouldn't you think a man that took off a whole season would be chomping at the bit to get back in there with the guys, would show up to the offseason programs because he missed a whole season? This is a guy that if he loves football so much, could not wait to, you'd think he'd be drooling to get back on the field. And now he's like, nah, guys, I'm going to pass.
He's drooling to play. He's not drooling to go through camp drills.
He hasn't done anything. He needs to get in shape. Why are you laughing?
I wish people could see on the other side. I don't want to say it because I'm not. I don't want to give up, like break the fourth wall. I wish people could see.
I know
what's
exactly
happening.
What you're.
No,
just like,
break it. Break the fourth wall.
No. I don't want to. It's just so funny. This what's around this show every day. If people could see like the entire thing. Not just me and Cap on our side, but just on the other side, just like there's a dressing room. All of a sudden, we're doing a show. There's a dressing room.
Right, and there's a naked man on the other side of the glass.
Like, what is going on? We got shot or no shot. We got a naked man over here. What is, I mean, this show, I swear, man, there's so many things going on. So many plates spinning on this show.
Yes.
There's a naked man over there. All right, go ahead.
I didn't even notice. Gentlemen, moving on. Wisconsin's men's basketball seniors confronted Greg Gard in a secretly recorded meeting. There were 11 people in the room, Gard, his three assistants, and the team's seven seniors. A secretly recorded 37-minute audio file from that gathering was sent to the State Journal via an anonymous email account late Monday afternoon.
And that's the newspaper. That's the newspaper of record. There.
Correct. Now, while
get
it only
beak
provided...
out of there. Nobody, people know what that is.
Some people don't even know what newspapers are. Stop yourself.
Let Danny tell the story. That's the newspaper of record. I want people to know.
Let's make it sure.
Chicago Defender, the newspaper of record.
Take that.
You get out of here.
Now, while that tape provides only a part of what was said during the meeting, the recorded portion is filled with pointed criticism directed at Gard by his senior player. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, secretly recording and then sharing that tape is kosher?
No shot. Those kids are all jackass times a billion. You want to go after your coach and tell him you don't think he's this or that? That's fine. That's what those types of meetings are for. Let's clear the air and see if we can move forward. They did get to the second round of the NCAA tournament. To leak it to the media like that, like sending it anonymously to a reporter at the Wisconsin State Journal, so it can embarrass the coach, embarrass the program. Those kids embarrass themselves. Jackasses.
What kind of kids are they recruiting there? On Wisconsin is a family. It's tight. You know, Wisconsin's tight, man. What's going on there? Like, okay, question. Did he physically abuse those kids?
No.
I mean, outside of just a normal coaching and trying to get kids motivated, did he eviscerate those kids verbally?
Apparently.
I mean, okay, well, that's part of the coaching.
Then transfer. Then leave. You know what?
Yeah.
Say it at the meeting, I don't like you, and I'm sure some of that's on that tape. I don't want to play for you anymore. I don't like your program. But to cowardly, Greg was in tears during the meeting, trying to make things right. Tell me where I should be better. I want to be better with you guys. And then mail the tape to the newspaper?
I hate that. I hate that story.
Okay, do you think the newspaper should have printed it?
Yeah, it's part of the journalism. Yeah, you kind of have to. That's your job.
Right.
You get that kind of, I mean, that makes the story, that makes your paper for not a week, but for a season, for a while, because you broke that story, so you got to do it. I don't like it, but you have to do it.
Yep.
It's in-house, man. Like, if you don't like it, that's why the portal system's wide open. If you don't like it,
leave.
I hate that story.
Yeah, that's an awful story. And whether Greg was right or wrong, that the fact that you secretly recorded it and sent it to a newspaper tells me all I need to know about the character of those kids.
Danny?
Gentlemen, quickly, one last one. So Sexy Beast is a new dating show on Netflix where real-life singles are going to sport elaborate makeup and prosthetics to put true blind date chemistry to the test. Now, I tweeted this out. You have to see the trailer at D. Zetterman. I asked you guys, shot or no shot, from watching the trailer and me describing it, this will be the greatest TV show in the history of television.
No, it will not be the greatest. I have to see it first. I see the trailer. But just, okay, if the guys and the women are wearing costumes, now there's chemistry as far as the conversation, but you can't really see their face. Now, someone like you, Danny, you would have to see their face. You know, you just can't look like a Halloween costume and think that you have a connection with someone.
No, I'm 100% shallow. I need to see what the person looks like.
Of course.
But in the trailer, right, the costumes they're wearing aren't just like this thing you'd buy on Halloween. They're done up like major motion picture costumes. And these people, like, one guy's dressed as a panda and the girl's dressed as an alien, and they are going to a bowling alley to bowl, and there are actual people in the bowling alley that look like civilians staring at them. It looks like it is going to be the most amazing show ever. Ever! Better than Seinfeld and The Sopranos and Breaking Bad.
And Martin. I don't know. This is it looks weird, man.
It is. It is the level they go to for the disguise is incredible.
Right. I mean, you could be on that, Cap. Make you look better.
All in.
Cap would be great on this show because he's got a loud, boisterous personality. You cover him up in, like, let's say a monkey costume, he would win over every woman.
Do you like the soup? I love the soup.
Take that.
You like horse racing? Oh, God. Let's take a look at the second race. At Sportsman's. They don't even run anymore.
I mean, that'd be perfect for you.
They can't see me. Look at me. They can't see me. I'm Cap.
I'm not a huge TV program guy. I would watch that. I'd give it a try.
You ever watch The Masked Singer?
No.
Yes.
That's a great show. They have, like, a professional person. Like, they could be an actor. They could be a magician. They could be a singer. They could be an athlete. And I think Antonio Brown was on it. And yes, they put them in a costume like that, and they go up and sing and perform, and the judges have to rate whether they're good or bad and figure out who they are.
Peacock and I watch that. I mean, she watches it more than I do, but I just kind of look in, and it's like, oh, you're watching The Masked Singer. You know that's Gladys Knight, right? She goes, no, it's not. And then the mask comes off. Take it off. Take it off. And all of a sudden, it's Gladys Knight. You spoiled it for me. Like, well, I'm just telling you, I know what that sounds like.
You got an ear.
Wendy Williams was on there. How you doing? She was singing on there as well. It's like, yeah, someone that tall, that busty. Yep, that's Wendy Williams.
No question.
Those bird legs. Yeah. You know what? That looks like Wendy Williams.
All right, the midweek top 10.
What?
The midweek top 10. I spotted Letterman in the building.
Oh, no.
Yep. We'll be right back.
Not in my format.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Oh, boy.
The midweek top 10.
What do you mean?
We have a top 10 list.
Well, this is not on my format.
David Letterman has been doing some consulting here in the building.
Yeah.
So, Danny.
I can't hear you. What's that?
Danny has roped Letterman into doing these top 10s for us. I don't know how long it'll continue.
This is not on my format, Danny. Danny's looking for the button. All right.
Oh, I know where everything is. I like this seat, man. I can see you clear, Johnny.
How about that? Danny's on the board.
I'll tell you,
nervous.
This board's never sounded smoother.
Yeah. What's that? All right.
Those cheers are for me.
20 years in the business. He's never run the board.
Smooth, right?
Like a brick in the face.
Danny, oh, God. The ship is going down.
Well, we're going to see what happens here. Paul, nice to see you.
Good to see you. Dave.
Where are your glasses, by the way?
I got contacts.
Anyway, we were discussing earlier in the week about the concept of Cap going to the Van Gogh Museum with his family and having to give up his phone. So he is told to pay attention, not tweet, not check scores. We found this to be kind of an outrageous request, especially for Cap. If you know him, he is glued to his phone.
Yes.
So the top 10 list today, ladies and gentlemen, the top 10 things Cap would give up before his phone.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's tonight's top 10.
This is kind of my format. Eric.
Copy. Gentlemen, the top 10 things that Cap would give up before his phone. Number 10, pretending to meditate. Wow. Number 9, listening to music.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Hi-o.
Number 8, doing around the office.
I like my doots. F off.
Top 10 things Cap would give up before his phone. Number 7, telling the Dirk story.
I haven't told that in so long.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Go ahead.
Number 6, White
Sox.
Keep
out of it.
Number 6, his White Sox season tickets.
Hi-oh! There goes the card.
Number 5, saying, take that.
That's a no-shot.
Top 10 things Cap would give up before his phone. Number 4, shopping at Whole Foods.
Ah, yes. No question about that.
No chance.
Yeah, Jewel is the Aldi. The Jewels is the Aldi for him. That's
how
for
are
sure.
those cherries I brought you?
Good. You got them off a truck.
What are you
still? You're still in my bid giving hoodie fruit?
I brought him Rainier cherries.
You should have seen it last week. It was out of control. You done, Paul?
Yes.
Thank you. Back to the organ for you, Paul.
Number 3, wardrobe changes. Wardrobe changes. I know that would be a tough one for you, Cap.
It would. My wife's laughing right now.
Number 2, looking at himself in the mirror.
Ah, yes.
I just read them, folks. I don't write them all. Top 10 things Cap could give up before his phone. Number 1, Mindy.
Ah, yes.
That's a never.
Very good.
That's a never.
Thank you very much. And there goes the pencil.
There. All right. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. I don't know how much longer you're going to be in Chicago, but it's great to have you here in the studio.
See, Cap, you have to understand, that's a funny bit.
That was very good.
Now, you'll get a text message in about 15 minutes to talk about how funny that bit is, and then you'll say, boy, that was good.
I enjoyed that bit.
Yeah,
it could go the other way around with Cap. Whoever was listening that text to him could have been offended by that, and then it'll be like, that was a terrible bit.
I actually enjoyed that bit.
I liked it.
Very funny.
You'll get it. Carm, nobody asked you whether you liked it or not. You get out of there.
Keep your beak out of it.
Carm's always got the little comment at the end.
He does.
Nobody asked you, Carm. You get out of there.
Anyway,
Carm.
We'll crosstalk with those two fine gentlemen known as Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.